If you have your Bibles open there to Ephesians 5, we're going to continue our study in the book of Ephesians. One day we'll get through it. But I'll tell you what, after going through the book, you ought to be able to reflect and you ought to be able to have a good idea of what the book of Ephesians is about. It ought to really help you see things much clearer. I pray it has, and sometimes preaching can hinder that. But this morning we're going to be talking about walking as children of light. And that's found in Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be covering verses 6 through 14 this morning. I want you to come back in with me to chapter 2. And I want you to look with me at verse 8 and 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. By grace you've been saved. Saved from death, saved from condemnation, saved from eternal doom. By grace. God's graciousness to you and to me was placed all in the work of Jesus. And in the work of Jesus, that's where you and I can be saved and will be saved. And so, because of God's gift, the work of Jesus, it is God's gift, you and I need to show some thankfulness. We need to show how much we appreciate what the Lord has done. Now, one of the things I might add here, and this is something that kind of seems to plague many. We look at people in life. Maybe it's your family, maybe it's kinfolk in other ways, maybe it's a neighbor. But we look at people in life and we look and we say, that is a good person. And why would God ever send a good person into eternal death to burn forever? Well, the problem starts is because we deem goodness through our eyes. There is so much evil in this world. There are so many people that don't care. And so we'll look at someone and we'll say, that's a good person. But you know what escapes our notice with God? We know Romans 3:23 well. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We know that the wages of sin is what? Death. So if all have sinned, where is everybody at? But they're good people. But from God's perspective, all have sinned. All deserve death. It's not a matter of goodness unless you're working your way to heaven. And if you're working your way to heaven, you don't need Jesus. You just need to be perfect. That's all it requires. By grace you've been saved. Through faith. Faith trusts in the working of Jesus on my behalf. That's what faith does. Faith trusts in the work of Jesus. And because of all of that, we realize He has had great mercy on me for my sins and for your sins. And He gives in that mercy, there's this grace that appears, so I can have a favor from God, undeservedly, to make it to the end goal. That's what grace is for. And that's what saved us, and that's what's going to keep us saved all the way to the end. Well, if we believe that, then number one, we need to be a people that starts renewing our minds. Ephesians 4:23. We need to be a people that puts off that old self that was tied to sin and put on the new self in the likeness of God. Ephesians 4:24. We need to be a people that imitate our Father. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Imitate your Father. And so, by doing all of that, we need to eliminate some things in our lives. Look at chapter 5, verse 5. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. This you know with certainty. You hear people say it? Don't judge me. This you know with certainty. No one that is immoral, sexually immoral, I don't care if we're talking about pornography or anything. Immoral people, impure people, practicing things that are not impure, and coveters. The want, the love of money, the want, the love of things, to want to get more things, to want to gain more things. We talked about these things last week. Impurity, the filthy talking, the things like, that people do in their lives. We need to put those things away. Why? Because he says they do not have an inheritance in the kingdom of God and Christ. No immoral, impure, coveting people will be in heaven. God saved us by His grace. We need to push that stuff out of the way. And we need to focus just on one thing. Keeping impurities out of our lives. Because if there's one thing that will disqualify you quickly, is impurity, is immorality, and being a coveter. Well, is that true? Look at verse 6. He said, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. What? You want to be impure? You want to be immoral? You want to be a coveter? You want to be filthy and talk? You want to do that? And think you're going to end up in heaven? Now, how many people believe they're going to end up in heaven? I mean, it's almost anybody today that practices any kind of obscene things and filthy things, and they still think they're going to be there with God in the end because they believe in God. Don't you let anyone deceive you with empty words. If these are the practice of people, they're not going to be there. And I can't stress that enough. You're not going to make it. And when I said a while ago, don't judge me, the Lord did the judging. And so we shouldn't let anyone come by with some empty words and telling us, no, those things aren't right. Because you know what? The wrath of God comes upon sons of disobedience. And sons of disobedience are the ones who do not put any effort in trying to clean up their life to be for Christ, to be for God. The wrath of God comes upon sons of disobedience. I mean, sometimes we forget places like Romans 1:18. Where he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. The wrath of God is against disobedient people. People who were once cleansed by the blood of Christ and now they've stopped trying. Now they've lost so much faith, they can't even believe Jesus died for their sins anymore. So they quit. They just do what they want to do. And he says, guess what? Wrath of God's against sons of disobedience, and that's not who we should be. Verse 7. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Why do we fellowship people that are sons of disobedience? partake what they partake in. Why do that? Verse 8. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You're no longer darkness. Do you realize that when you and I look, or when God looks at us through the eyes of Jesus, through the blood of Christ, there was a light that shined on you, brighter than any sun. And that made you and I, yes, we were formerly darkness, and we helped darkness, and we encouraged darkness, and we lived darkness. And He said, you know what? You were formerly, but you know what you are now? You are light in the Lord. You're light. And we need to walk as children of light. Oh, let me ask you a question. What did the light bulb, the invention of the light bulb, do to our world? I mean, the light bulb invention was incredible. Had these little lamps in the rooms and the houses. I can remember my mother talking of times growing up, and they would put a lamp on the kitchen table, and, you know, at night. And I mean, you had to come from the other rooms. If you wanted to see something, you carried that lamp around. That was it. All of a sudden, we got this light bulb that's screwed in up there. You come in, you flip a switch, and everything in the room's light. You and I were darkness. Here's Jesus Christ. You need to understand the light shining on you. You need to walk like the light shining on you. Well, what does that mean? Verse 9. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Here's the fruit of children of light. You know, fruit is the visible result of something happening. There's fruit on that. You know, we have fruit trees and things, and they flower, and the flower falls off, and then you start watching that tree may not have changed form, that tree may not have changed shape, that tree doesn't look any bigger, but you start seeing fruit pop up. That fruit is the result of the life within the tree. Well, there's fruit walking as children of light. And that fruit consists of three things. He said, all goodness and righteousness and truth. That's what it encompasses. Now let me tell you what darkness encompasses. Look back real quick at verse 31 of chapter 4. He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Why does He say put those things away? That's darkness. That's darkness. Try to talk often about bitter and resentments and hatefulness and clamor, where you just speak out against everything and you're always upset. You know what? That's part of darkness. You and I, what is good about any of those things? One more, if you'll come down with me. Look at verse 3 and 4 of chapter 5. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. What's good about those things? It's a great quality. Part of fruit of light would be giving thanks. Why are people so ungrateful? Why are they go through all of this talk and the way we use our mouths? We're children of light. And we were formerly darkness, and we helped that darkness expand its evil. But now we're children of light, and the fruit that we walk as children of light consists in goodness, righteousness, and truth. When we talk about goodness, we're not talking about just being nice people. Goodness carries with that element of moral character. A moral character that you need to be concerned for the benefit of others. That's what goodness involves. I'm trying to benefit another person. And so the fruit of being children of light is looking to be helpful where you can to benefit the good of other people. He says, righteousness. Righteousness. That's where we are actively in our lives putting on the things that God is and that God proclaims and that God wants. Righteousness is His standard of living. You know, the fish is only a half inch short. No one will know. The fruit of children of light is righteousness. It's still illegal. Yeah, no one will know. You don't have an understanding of who you and God are. If you believe no one ever knows, I would question whether or not we even know we're saved. Because God knows. He's aware. And so the fruit of light consists of righteousness, doing things right according to God. And then he says the third thing in here is truth. Truth. What God deems as truth. Too many times, brethren, we come up with our ideas of what we want to believe in. We come up with our ideas of what truth is. And what happens is that it may be what we want to believe, but the standard is God. Whatever you believe in, whatever you think is true, you need to put it up to the Word of God to see, is that what God says is true. Sometimes we like something. We like to believe in something. We like to be a certain way or believe in a certain way. And so that becomes our standard. Well, I believe like this. But if you can find verses that say that's not the standard. See, we need to be looking for truth. You know what I find very interesting? I have no one knocking on my door asking for truth. I get a lot of religious things. I get a lot of religious ideas, a lot of religious mails, and I get a lot of religious talk, but I have not had anyone, and I'm speaking those outside the body, I have not had anyone come to me and say, what's the truth? Truth better be important to a child of light. Children of light that walk in light need to concern themselves with truth. Not a hodgepodge of everything together. And so with these three elements, goodness, righteousness, and truth, with those three elements are the fruit of children of light, walking as children of light. Look where it pushes us to next. Look at verse 10. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. There you go. We're talking about what pleases the Lord. Christ is God's gift. God's grace is what He gave us. And now you and I need to be a people that concern ourselves with trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. I want to please God. We need to please God. We need to be trying to learn what pleases God. Well, a lot of times, a lot of the emails I'll get, someone will forward me some religious material with an email. You know, I want you to read this, some good thoughts here. And you know what I find in nearly every one of them? I start finding these elements of non-truth. It doesn't take much. If you're reading God's Word and paying attention closely, it doesn't take much to see these writers and these authors. They make statements about things, but then yet, all of a sudden, it starts coming to mind. But that's not what the Word of God teaches. But we're going to believe that? Now, not all of them are false. I want you to know that up front, okay? But I get a lot of them that are. And people, and when I'm saying here people, I'm talking about you people. Some of you people believe this stuff. We were traveling this week and there was a fellow, religious guy, had a big billboard. Some kind of ministry he had, and my wife looked it up. You know what his ministry was? Because I've been preaching for 40 years. I need money so I can buy a van. At least I ought to get some benefit from all these years of preaching. Send me your check to... You need to get a benefit. You know what our benefit is? You're saved. You're saved by the blood of Christ. And they need to learn what's pleasing to God. And do what's pleasing to God. Because He's the one that forgave us, didn't He? That should be our very first instinct before we do anything else. Before you respond to people, before you write something on Facebook, before whatever you do, you better make sure it's pleasing to God. That's what children of light do. You need to think about that one. And then he goes on. Verse 11. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. Do not participate. That's our word, fellowship. Do not participate in the deeds of darkness. Expose them. Now, I'll show you how he's going to tell you how to expose them. Because it's a shame, it's disgraceful, he says, to even speak about the things that's done by them. We know too much about evil, brethren. I'm just going to tell you. We know too much about evil and don't know enough about pleasing God. We know too much about untruth rather than children of light walking in goodness, righteousness, and truth. And we need to be a people not to be participating. I don't care if everybody's doing it. We don't need to participate in the unfruitful. It bears no fruit. It's going to cost you a soul. He calls it the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but even expose them. Now, let me give you a quick illustration on this side. You know, what if you... Well, before I give you an illustration, I got another thought. All right? This doesn't happen often, so hang with me. We talk about gossip. And so many of you are very concerned about it, and I love that. But let me explain a little bit what gossip is and what gossip is not. Gossip is where you sit and you're going to talk about other people behind their back, and you have the intent of tearing them down. Or you have the intent of speaking the evil. That's gossip. It's not gossip when you come and you speak about a situation and you're looking for answers to help. You want to help. That's not gossip. And you can find places like that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. Paul says, I have been informed by closed people that there are quarrels among you. Apparently, closed people have written or got in touch with Paul and they said, here at the church, we got people that are fighting and quarreling. That's not gossip. They're trying to help. And Paul tries to help by writing that. Now, saying that, as we've identified gossip, what if you're sitting around and people began to talk about someone or a situation and they began to explain all the bad that's going on? They have no intent of helping. They just want you to hear the bad. What if someone said, I don't want to hear this. and you get up and you walked away. What would that do to the others? It exposes them. Just by not participating. Now this isn't good. This isn't going anywhere. This is not where a child of light walks. If we would just get up and we would just kindly just exit the place and don't have to listen, it would expose. Because he says in verse 12, "For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret." And you know what? What is God's wrath against? Darkness, sons of disobedience, ungodliness. You and I need to walk as children of light. We don't need to be participating in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. We need to be exposing it, and you expose it by not being a part of it. Look at verse 13. "But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light." Everything becomes visible when? When it's exposed to light. I mean, you know, we have lights on in here. If we turned off all the lights, and it wouldn't be near as visible. But the moment the lights come on, what happens in here? Everything is visible. That's what light does. That's how light operates. You walk into a dark room, what happens? Everything that is dark goes away. It's all light. Well, guess what? When everything's are exposed to light, everything becomes light. So if people are in darkness, they're going to have to leave. They can't be a part of that. And that's the way light operates. You and I are children of light. We're not children of darkness. It was Jesus who called His disciples, "You are the light of the world." We are the only reflection. And we need to be stopping the things that we're around by stopping the evil, by practicing the goodness, the righteousness, and truth. That exposes everything else around us. You don't have to make a scene. I remember years back that we'd go places and you'd be with a group of brethren, and somehow, some way, they thought they had to be visible to everybody, so they would start this big outward show of something. I remember at a restaurant one time, they decided that there was a group of them, they were going to have prayer. They're going to have public prayer right there in front of everybody. You know, and people were talking about, that's neat. We need to be showing the world. Wait a second. Prayers to God. We don't need to be self-righteous. Jesus spoke about prayer. Go into your room, shut the door. Your God who sees in secret will repay in secret. Well, we don't need to be coming out here to the world, and we don't need to be shining badges. What the world needs to see in you and me is light of goodness, righteousness, and truth. We need to be exposing them to the light of God, because this is how we live. This is where we are. We're not trying to force them into anything. We're trying to let them see this is what a child of light is like. Got to be careful. "But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light." I won't go there. Verse 14. This verse is probably the greatest ending to a lesson. Because as we've been talking about children of light, listen to what he says. "For this reason," it says, and he's about to quote out of Isaiah, "Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." If you know you're spiritually dead, did you know God gives an invitation? Wake up. Wake up. And let Christ shine on you. You couldn't have written a better ending. You're weak and you know you're failing. Then don't keep floundering in failure and weakness. Get up and let Christ shine on you. You think you don't, nothing's getting into your heart, I'm spiritually dead. Get up. Wake up. Arise from the dead and let Christ shine on you. That is the message. We are children of light. Walk as children of light. We are in the light. Live in the light and let Christ do His work in you, with you. Let Him be who He is. And Christ will shine. And you will be at peace. And you will be a whole lot happier than you have ever been. May God bless the teaching of His Word and His reading of His Word, and may He bless us as we take serious steps by faith to be children of light.